Everybody, so this is Ted Tagami at Webzine, finally, after the raucous tour up San Francisco's Market Street. A lot of interesting things going on, just kind of get acclimated. And I'm with
Scott McMullen, JotSpot.
At JotSpot, so you actually created the wiki on the side. I played around with it, actually. I think I posted something before I got on the BART this morning.
Yeah, I did. Tried my best to make it look like the really slick Webzine set. You kind of go between them and you can't figure out where you're at, really.
Exactly. So what seems to be the groove right now? We're kind of just early in the afternoon yet. Maybe only one or two sessions have been through. It's really crowded in the hallways here. It's been an exciting venue, just a bunch of people bumping into each other and a lot of cool things happening. What have you been capturing so far?
You know, I wish I was in there hanging out and watching. I've been running, getting water, power strips, cords, uh-huh. And stuff like that. So
everyone's wireless right now? Someone was complaining about that a little earlier.
You know, I think wireless is out. I think we're on schedule. I think it's going pretty well.
Right on.
And we're a little late, but uh-huh.
Rocking and rolling. There we go. And right now we're in front of, I guess, the Analog Wiki. And this will really be kind of like where people come and begin massaging the message and creating the things that are going to happen here.
Yeah. Master's Lounge, baby. Get on it. Get a half-hour slot. Have at it.
That's right. And is there anyone posted on the actual on the wiki on the site?
Yeah, so there's a couple things you can do. One, you can sign in, and that's a whole list of everyone who's here. There's also an online schedule, and you can put all links, and you can get your documents if you've got like presentations and stuff. Seems to be the two areas that people are doing most is just signing in and kind of letting people know what their URL is. Some people are doing stuff like uploading pictures and what have you. And then Master's Lounge schedule. That seems to be the place where the most activity is.
Right on. And you know, when you guys are hearing this, it's not too late. It's going on tomorrow as well. This is Saturday right now, but it's all day Sunday here in San Francisco to check out webzine2005.com. Later.
Leave your car at home, baby.
Absolutely, especially this weekend.
Yeah.
Bye now. Hey, it's Ted again back at Webzine, and I'm with
Chris Hara.
Chris Hara?
Bloguniverse.com.
Bloguniverse.com. And you're actually doing a lot of podcasting.
I am.
We were just kind of geeking out before I turned it on, and we were talking about different field recorders. And so tell me what you're using.
Well, I'm using a Sony Minidisc RZR30, or MZR30.
And how much playtime do you get on that?
Well, I haven't been using it that much, but I generally get about an hour worth of talk out of that.
That's good enough for an interview, I guess.
I haven't done any interviews, so this is probably going to be the first time I actually get a chance to use it.
Great. So tell me a little bit more about the content you have on your site.
Well, Bloguniverse is a blog directory broken down by genres, and I've had that for about 4 years.
Oh, really?
Right. And recently I started podcasting some of the more interesting blogs, and very specific, I do have an events calendar that I put out, that I'll be putting out monthly.
Oh, really? Well, fantastic. We're all going to have to check that out. That's bloguniverse.com?
Right, and the podcast is at podcast.bloguniverse.com.
And what would you say? I mean, looking in the audio podcasting space, what's kind of the zeitgeist right now? I mean, what are people talking about? What's interesting?
Well, I mean, I think everybody pretty much revolves around Adam Curry. I get most of my information not necessarily listening from other podcasts, although I do listen to them. But I go to the podcaster meetups, which is here in San Francisco, and I really think that the Bay Area is still ground zero for the entire movement. If you or some of your listeners want to check that out, that's coming up on Wednesday the 28th at SOS, which is on golf down here in San Francisco.
And that's using meetup.org?
Right, meetup.com. And the turnout is really great because I was really surprised. I'd been to other meetups, and you get about three or four people, and they're the same people. But this has around 40 to 50 people that kind of cycle through, and it's just growing here in the Bay Area. It's a great meeting.
Well, we'll definitely have to check out meetup.com for the podcasting meetup group, and as well as checking out bloguniverse.com.
Thanks, Ted.
Great, thanks. Hey, this is Ted at Webzine, and we're kind of going back to 2000. I've got a VHS tape from Webzine 2000. I'm here with a couple gents that have just seen it kind of ebb and flow, and we're here, I guess, to talk a little bit about zines and how they've been evolving. And I'm sorry, what was your name?
B. Vail, publisher of Research. I started in 1977 with Search and Destroy, which is a very early punk rock countercultural documentation.
Now, I'm going to have to take a picture to go with this podcast, but you don't look like a punk rock kind of guy.
Well, I'm in this look here, but I didn't look punk rock then. Well, there wasn't any one look to punk rock. I mean, punk rock was extremely diverse and sort of the mother of all most edgiest fashion even today. But I thought punk rock was the last spontaneous international countercultural revolution. Mm-hmm. And I felt it needed to be reported in depth and accurately. And so that's what I've been doing ever since, like almost 30 years.
Wow. And you were actually at Webzine 2000?
Yeah.
And how do you think it's changed between then and now? Just kind of looking at it. I mean, we just kind of started up today, but...
Well, the big difference now, I think, is the rise of the blog and the podcast. Mm-hmm. And, but of course, you know, people are right on top of it here. I mean, the thing about Webzine is that you sort of have a fusion happening here, a meeting of people who are into the cutting-edge technology, the state-of-the-art, but who are also kind of cultural rebels. And that makes it interesting. And they're trying to, you know, utilize... I mean, if it were like for the devil or for the forces of good, I mean, the forces of good here think that all communication should be kind of egalitarian and there shouldn't be hierarchy anymore. We should no longer be in a hierarchy society with a very handful of media corporations dictating to us how we should live and what we should think and what our vocabulary should be and
something
all that.
Something kind of like a collaborative metaphor?
Well, it is possible that through the internet now you can talk to anybody on the planet practically for free. It's absolutely amazing. And we're hoping that it's not going to just all become corporatized and dominated so you can't find little small independent voices.
Right. How do you think that the zine itself has evolved in the last 5 years? Or
well,
if it's how?
Well, I don't know because zines started out being extremely niche, and I think there's a great deal of value in being niche because you don't have to water down anything, your content, to reach a mass audience. I think, in fact, I think that's a key it's a key to individuality. True individuality, which is what everyone wants, is just by nature niche. I mean, you're not going to appeal to everyone. You're not going to be like everyone else. You've got your own point of view to express, and the only way to develop a unique point of view is to start as early as possible identifying your obsessions, what your desires, what you really love, and just start pursuing those single-mindedly, regardless of how popular anything is. And that's what it. And so we have the rise of unwatered down communication that isn't pandering to the corporate profit motive. And remember, the corporate profit motive is do whatever it takes to make maximum profit as fast as possible. And unfortunately, that's why 99% of the people seem to be living on the planet now is just for that motive, which completely kills everything else.
So with all those discrete signals out there, Vic, how do you gather through, how do you break through all this, all the noise and find the signal?
Key words. There has to be, I mean, if you search for William S. Burroughs and J.G. Ballard, I just did two books on J.G. Ballard, you'll find an amazingly high quality of communication and minds who are interested in those. So you just follow this principle anywhere. It's very hard to find someone you can trust who isn't just out for themselves, promoting themselves or some profit agenda.
Yeah,
when you find them, then you should like follow it all the way.
Good advice. Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Other questions?
What's your name?
Ryan King.
Hey, Ryan.
I think we've emailed.
We have.
Yes.
And actually, the stuff we talked about is exactly what I want to ask about. So far, we've talked about, you know, Creative Commons sort of stuff and citizens media, which is definitely, I think, a very important thing, especially after stuff that Jacob talked about downstairs. But what if I want to get rich? What if I want to make a bunch of money off of media I produce? Are you guys working on any sorts of like kind of distributed mechanisms for like payments and commerce and that sort of stuff? So that sort of thing.
Getting rich off blogging. It can be done. Not saying that it hasn't been done or it won't be done. Definitely a difficult challenge. Something that I've been working on, actually, something that I hope to talk to you about later, because I know Ryan works on microformats and stuff with Technorati. And a microformat that we've collaborated on with Blip and a few other people is a type of link called a payment link. And it's very simple when you write a blog entry. For instance, if I did a book review of a book, and I wrote about it, that I liked it or didn't like it, and then at the end I might want to link to where that book is from an online retailer like Amazon, for instance, using an affiliate link, perhaps. So if someone reads my book review and they click on that link to buy the book from Amazon, I get a cut, right? So what we're doing is we're taking links like that and we're helping to define them as payment links by adding an attribute into the link syntax. And this is where it gets a little bit geeky. But you can add an attribute into the link tag syntax called rel equals payment. And we're trying to get that defined as a micro format and also into syndication format so that if your blog entry that's a book review gets syndicated out to an aggregator, that aggregator can discover the payment link and display a button where that could take the user to where that item is for purchase. That's one example. Another example might be your tip jar. Another example might be donate to the Red Cross for Hurricane Katrina. Any type of link that defines a location where to give payment. And that's one example. May not make you rich.
My joint question
now, is. Now, that's one example. Money. And there are probably other ways to help people potentially get rich. And I think those are being explored by a lot of services. We're thinking about exploring that kind of space. Blip may be thinking about exploring that kind of space. I know Odeo is, and probably a few others. Eric, you may have something to say about that too. But you know, different services where you might be able to put up content and say, I would like to charge people X amount to view my content. And to enable that transaction, the service provider might take a cut. People are experimenting with this type of business model. We might experiment with it. We're not sure. We're thinking about it. So you know, there may be more opportunities like that. Is that
yeah.
what you're asking?
Well, yeah. I'm familiar, obviously, with the microphone stuff, but I was wondering what other... Because certainly there's room for kind of more distributed systems for commerce. Because it's a general problem of the web is that I put up stuff, I want you to go see it, but I also wouldn't mind being compensated for it. And I know there's people that consume content that wouldn't mind paying for it, even if it's kind of just in the form of, you know, a tip jar sort of thing where it's like, that's cool. Or, you know, in the form of affiliate links where it's like that book review, I'll make sure that you get a cut by, you know, clicking on your affiliate link to buy the book. But I was just curious as to what else is going on, because I know, you know, people would like to be able to do this stuff like full time and, you know, be supported by it. And I think that's an important part of the idea is that we need to, like, people need to still need to be able to pay their bills, right? And you know, they're still going to have expenses and so on. So I definitely think that's a...
I think you're right. And I think that those kinds of systems are kind of emerging. But I think there's also a lot of people who are sharing media and creating media and sharing it without the idea in mind that they are going to make that
right.
much money on it.
Sure.
You know, one of the things that we want to enable in terms of the personal media space is I might want to share video with my friends and family.
Right.
Probably don't care if I make a dime off it because it's, you know, my nephew on the swings and I'm sending it to my mom. So, you know, that type of media should be enabled too. And previously, this kind of media has had no distribution at all. So, you know, when you see people with video cameras, up until very recently, there's been nothing to do with that output except put it in your shoebox and take it out at a family reunion. So we want to enable all types of personal media sharing, and I think you're right that there does need to be some kind of commerce engine as well for people who want to say, you know, beyond I want to share media with my friends and family, but I want to make content to be consumed and I want to make a living from it. So I think you're right that problem needs to be addressed. Boom.
Yeah, I just want to make a little quick thing because it's 3 o'clock and I'm not sure if someone has a schedule to see if someone's after here. We may be kicked out, but I just want to make sure we all knew it was 3 o'clock. We were going to check for something. But I know. So let's get the these guys warm up. If you guys have any final thing, but these guys are around to talk. I know Dave is leaving soon, but I could talk to anyone about Spin Express as this whole day goes on, and I'll be glad to talk to the rest of these people. I think are still going to be around.
We have a demo coming up actually right now in the subscheduling room.
Okay.
So we're on a three. Luke is on a three, and Fire Engine on a 3:30. So
these are really good people. Cool thing, by the way, so
all these tools right now are free. So I sincerely suggest that. Download it, check it out, give it a test drive, and then
let us know
what you think, because that's one of the most important things and one of the very cool things about what's happening is, at this time, we not only have the ability to make media, but we have the ability to make the tools to help us distribute and develop these commerce engines, develop whatever it needs to get this going from the grassroots up. But what we need, really, as developers, is your feedback, and we need to know what you need, and we'll build it. So let us know. Download the stuff and send us feedback, please.
Please.